Take your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We're going to be looking at a passage here, a story for us in Luke 17, 11 through 19. You know, studies have shown that gratitude increases productivity. Glassdoor did a study that 80% of employees were willing to work harder in a atmosphere of gratitude. If they felt great, that they were appreciated for what they've done. And thinking about that and thinking about this week and what all we've got before us and how time can get away from us. I mean, it's Thanksgiving already in 2017. I mean, we're looking at 2018 is coming right around the bend here. And all this time that it just seems to just get faster and faster. The question is, are we thankful enough? Are we thankful enough? You know what? Take your hymn books, all right? You know those things right down there that are blue, all right, underneath there? I want you to look. I'm not going to sing for you, all right? Don't get your hopes up, all right? That was a little too eager of a clap back there, all right? All right. Turn to hymn 639. I want you to see these words. In fact, it's kind of hard to sing this hymn unless you have this big pipe organ. All right, it's one of those type of hymns. But I want you to look at this. Look at the words there. Share it with somebody if you need to. But look at these phrases here. Now thank we all our God. Here in verse 1, now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore. I think about the words there that are written. I mean, this song is just so full of praise and of thanks. And think about the guy who wrote this. All right, look down at the bottom. The words written by Martin Rinkart. I mean, what kind of a guy and what's going on in his life that could write such a thankful song? When are we usually the most thankful? When everything's going great, right? So who is this Martin Rinkert? I want to show you. Here's a picture of Martin Rinkert. He's a real contemporary fella. He wrote this hymn probably sometime in the around 1636. Martin Rinkert was a pastor in Germany, in Ellenburg. He was a pastor during some of the most traumatic times for the nation of Germany. He pastored in this small town, which was actually one of the few walled cities during the 30 Years' War. And the 30 Years' War was a brutal time, and death was all around. And because of the war that was going on, there were famines going on. There were people that were seeking refuge and flooding into the city of Ellenburg. And as they were flooding in, the war was continuing. Death was happening all around them. There was famines that were breaking. They were fighting in the streets for the carcasses of birds. The famine was so bad. People were dying in incredible ways. A plague happened. There were four pastors in Ellenburg. One of them ran away. The other two died. leaving Martin Rinkert the only pastor in the town who was performing upwards of to 50 funerals a day, one of them his wife's. The war raged on, and when it finally got to the place of peace, I mean, the people were searching for food. They would line up at his door, and he would give out food as much as he could to barely keep enough to keep his family alive. He was giving out clothing. They finally found peace, and the Swedes came in, and they besieged the city. And then they held the city for ransom. And Martin Rinkert, as the representative of the city, went to the Swedes. Their ransom was just an exorbitant amount. There was no way the city was going to be able to pay for the price. He goes to the Swedes and he begs them to bring it down, to have mercy upon them. They rejected his offer. He turned from their doorstep. He knelt and he began to pray with those that were with him. And they said his prayer was so sincere that the Swedes heard it. And they lowered the ransom to something that they could afford. That is who wrote, "Now thank we all our God." Are we thankful enough? You know, those problems kind of make some of our problems look a little dreary or a little pathetic at times when we look at it. But this morning, I want us to look at this passage here in Luke that gives us the opportunity to give a return of thanks. Luke 17, verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by ten lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." When we look at our culture today, it seems like there is a lack for gratitude. There's a lack for thankfulness. I mean, you can see it driving down the highways. I tell you what, if I let you in and you don't give me a courtesy wave, you better watch out. I might see what bumper stickers you have on your car, all right? I might be a little close because I'm sometimes human, all right? But we have these opportunities. You know, when people are ungrateful, what does it do to us? It just kind of gets under our skin. And we see this around our culture today, this ingratitude. But here in this passage, we see both the ingratitude and the gratitude. And it gives us a beautiful picture. I want you to kind of see the different movements here that happen. The first thing we see is the miracle. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, speaking of Jesus, and he's going to Jerusalem, and he's passing down through this kind of a no man's land between Samaria and Galilee, and Samaria was a place that Jews just did not go. The Samaritans were considered the half-breeds. They were considered unclean to the Jews, and they would not go through there. And so here he is. He's kind of passing along. He's near Samaria, near this area. And what that does is that gives us a geographical location to understand who these 10 lepers are probably made up of. Because as he's going down through this way, he enters a village, and he was met by 10 lepers. Because the lepers would have been outside the city. It says there, they stood at a distance. Because when you had leprosy, you were considered unclean. You were the social outcast. And not only because of the health reasons, but I mean, they did not want to see the disease spread. You were considered unclean. And so they were outside the city until the leprosy had departed. The leprosy, as used here in the New Testament, could describe some multiple different types of diseases, but most notably, it had a skin disorder. that it was visible upon the skin, and the skin would begin to dry and to boil up in different aspects, and even there would be times of paralysis and nerve damage and different things that were going on with this leprosy. And so it was something that was very visible. And they were the outcast. They were on the outside of the city, and they had these camps. And here were these 10 lepers. And as he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, there's a good chance that these 10 lepers were made up of both Jews and Samaritans. And here you have this group. They're crying out, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, it's incredible when you study through the Gospels and you see how the different ways that Jesus responded to these calls. How he responded to these that were calling out to him. Here it says, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." Well, that was real nice, Jesus. You just tell them to go to church, all right? Go see the priest. What is Jesus saying? You see, when leprosy was cleansed, what they had to do was go to the priest to be cleared and to kind of have this check to make sure and to be sanctified and considered clean again. And so when he is seeing these lepers and when he says, "Go show yourself to the priest," he's saying, "You're going to be healed." But it hadn't happened yet. Jesus spoke, "Go show yourself to the priest." He tells them something to do. "Go show yourself to the priest." And nothing's happened yet. You ever feel that way, that sometimes Jesus is speaking to us, saying, "You know what, I want you to do something." And it hadn't really happened yet. And it takes faith to take that step. All right, so they take the steps. And what happens? As they went. Notice those words. And as they went, they were cleansed. They respond in faith to what he says. And as they were going, these 10 lepers were cleansed. Can you imagine the trip to the priest there? They start off, "I don't know what this is going to do. They're just going to send us right back out. What's going on here? What, Jesus, why are you sending this way? Wait a second. Where did that boil go? What's happening here? All of a sudden, I'm cleansed. Hey, when I get to the priest now, they're not going to laugh at me. I have a legitimate reason to be at the priest now because I'm cleansed." And you can imagine what's going on in these 10 lepers' minds. Well, at least in 9 of them. Because as we see this miracle happen, then we see the return. Because notice verse 15. "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." 9 continue on to the priest, because that was the ritual. That's what they were always to do. When they were cleansed of leprosy, they were to go see the priest. And they were, you know what? They were following what Jesus told them to do. They were continuing on the ritual. They were checking off the boxes. But then there's one. He says, "Wait a minute, I wasn't like this. Something changed me. Something has come into my life and made a difference in me. And that dirt, that grime, that filth, that disease that was upon me is gone now. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to give him some praise." And one stops. And there we see that word, he turned back. He turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And we see the return of the one, and he goes back to Jesus. I don't know, the scripture is not clear here on how far it was, but I guarantee you that was a trip he didn't mind making. As he was going back to Jesus, this return with this praise, and then we see the reaction from Jesus in verse 17. "Then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now we know that Jesus did not travel alone, that his disciples, his ones, are there with him. Can you imagine what is going through their minds? And they're seeing this. This one has come back. He's praising. He falls at the feet of Jesus and he begins to worship him. And then all of a sudden we see Jesus, his response. What is he going to say? Where are the nine? Why is there only one that's come back? And this one's a foreigner. And notice what he says to that one. Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This word here for made you well is the word saved. In fact, some of your translations, you might be looking there. Your faith has saved you. In other words, you know what? That cleansing, that was a miracle. But you know what the greater miracle is? Our faith has saved us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have that cleansing and forgiveness of sins. Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here we see in the midst of this passage, we see that worship will increase your gratitude. Worship increases your gratitude. And we see it in the life of this one. This return of thanks happened because worship was happening. Now, we use this word worship a lot of times, and I'm afraid we've kind of brought down its meaning. And we've kind of changed it. We use worship as, you know what, it's a, hey, our Sunday morning worship. It's at 11 o'clock hour, right? It's when we come to meet to worship God. I'm going to go to worship. And let's see what God has for us at worship today. And we come to worship, and we make it an entity instead of a response. Let's talk about worship and let's think about singing, right? Because that's the only way we worship God is through singing. And we equate it to the songs. When actually worship is a response. And listen, worship is something that is given. It is not something that is taken. And too often we sit through worship as a consumer, wanting to make sure that it all appeals to me, when worship is what we should be giving to God. The reason a lot of times we do not worship is because it's not lining up the way I want it to line up, and so then I'm going to hold back. And we turn worship into collateral instead of a gift to God. Our worship to God, I want to tell you something, whether you're here or not, He's deserving of your worship. He is deserving of us giving Him that time. He's deserving of us giving Him our praise. He's deserving of Him getting our ears, our hearts, our hands, and our feet. And our worship is a response from our life to Him. Because notice, as we see in this passage, notice verse 15, then the one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back praising God. That word for praising God there comes from the Greek family that means glory. In other words, this verb, the way it's saying he was giving him glory. He was not sitting back saying, well, I wonder if it's going to be a good message today. All right, is it going to have enough good, funny stories? Has it got enough jokes in it? All right, has it got enough good stuff? Is it going to have a good little tie-in at the end that's going to be neat? You know, or you know what? Is it going to be the right songs today? Or is it going to be the right temperature, the right color? Is it going to be right feeling? Is it not going to be raining outside? How is it going to be? Am I going to sit back and just, you know, receive this? No, worship is something that we give. And when we come to worship, we are giving God glory. He was giving him glory. And not only that, when he got to Jesus, he fell on his feet giving him thanks. He gave him glory. Then he gave him thanks. The word there for thanks is that Eucharisto, where we get that idea of the Eucharist. Giving him thanks. You see, when we worship, we give, we don't take. That means we give our time. That means we give our praise. That means we give our ears. We give our hearts. We give our hands. We give our feet. Because worship doesn't stop when this hour stops. Worship continues. So notice in this return, I'm going to move quickly here. First thing we see from this is a clean perspective. A clean perspective. He returned to give thanks because there was a clean perspective. When in verse 14, when he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. The clean perspective is here. He saw, he perceived with his eyes, "I have been healed." You know what? Sometimes we need to have that perspective in our life. "I once was lost, but now I'm found." And that our heart sings amazing grace. He says, "I was healed." And so he's turning back because there is a different perspective. We need to appropriate our healing. If we're going to give thanks, we need to understand what God has done for us through our salvation in Jesus Christ, and we should never get over it. If you're too comfortable with Jesus this morning, you need to ask Him to change your heart. If we're too comfortable with the cross, if we're too comfortable with the fact that His precious blood was given to us, it's not His problem, it's our heart. And we need to get back to that softness where we have that clean perspective, that we understand that we've changed our point of view to realize that we weren't entitled to anything, but God has blessed us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, there's a clean perspective. Then secondly, we see a clear praise. A clear praise. Notice verses 15 and 16 again. Verse 15 says, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." A clear praise. Now notice, he turns back, and we notice that he's not there yet. But on his way back, what is he doing? He's praising God. Now what's interesting is in the Greek, word order gives us some emphasis. It gives us some ideas of what's important. And what we see when you look at this phrase, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back." Instead of praising God, what really comes first in the Greek word order is "with a loud voice," praising God. With a loud voice, praising God. And we see this emphasis that as he turned back, there was no mistake in who he was going back to praise. He was going back with a loud voice. The Greek, it's a really cool word. Megales phones. It sounds real cool, doesn't it? Megales phones. You can go quoting that all week and impress your friends. I'm going to praise him with a megales phones. I'm going to praise him with a mega voice. I'm going to praise him with a loud voice. I'm going to give him the credit that he's due. I'm going to praise him with all I've got. I'm going to sing out. Wasn't it great when we stopped this morning and we sang that song and we said, "Praise to the King of Kings." Why? Because he deserves it. And when we turn to Jesus and when we love Jesus, we're going to praise him with a megales phones. We're going to praise him with a loud voice. And oh, how wonderful it is when the congregation lifts their voices together. I tell you, there's nothing better than the congregation singing together these praise and letting all the people know we're going to praise Jesus in this place. There was a clear praise. Our praise shouldn't be held or hidden. Our praise should show that we are attached to Jesus. And when those words of that song and when the scripture points to Jesus, our hearts need to be in line with it with a clear, loud praise. We'll be driving along and down through the countryside, maybe on the way to Nicole's parents. And then out of nowhere, we think all is quiet in the back seat, which is a blessing from God when that happens. And then out of nowhere, a blood-curdling yell, "Tractor!" And there's Finley. Our little two-year-old sees a tractor shop or sees an old broken one down out in the field. And you know what? His voice hits all the ranges on the way up. I mean, it's cracking through every pitch. You think the windshield is going to shatter. Tractors! He is so excited. Pop's car! That's what he calls him. Pop's car, because Pop has a tractor. And he gets so excited. And guess what? He doesn't shut up. He continues the rest of the trip. Tractor, 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 tractor. Shouldn't our praise of Jesus be the same way? Oh, that when we see Jesus, there is that loud voice of praise for who He is. That loudness, it shows our size of emotion. And just as we saw in Colossians in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." What praise does God deserve from our life? A loud praise. There should be no question that there's praise coming from us. And then we see, thirdly, a changed person. Look at verse 16. "And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks." Now he was a Samaritan. Now first off, we see here his posture. He fell at Jesus' feet. When he came to worship Jesus, he knew his position. And when we come to worship Jesus, we need to understand our position. And he fell at Jesus' feet. And he was worshiping him. And then Luke adds this little nugget. Now, he was a Samaritan. Isn't that interesting? Luke, who was a Gentile himself, make sure we get this point. He was a Samaritan. He was an outsider. He was one that had no business to be talking to Jesus, just like we saw with the woman at the well. But no, here he is. He's falling at the feet of Jesus. He's giving him praise. He's one that didn't deserve it, kind of like you and me. And he's fallen at Jesus' feet. He was a Samaritan. The Samaritans even had a totally different place to worship. The Jews worshipped in Jerusalem at that temple, and the Samaritans would worship Jerusalem, and then there they would worship the Lord, and they had a question about where to worship and these different things that were going on. But now, here when Jesus was there, the Samaritan had it right. He fell at his feet. Some scholars even believe that the rest of the nine were all Jews. I don't know that we can say that completely. We know that there was probably a mix. They continued on towards the ritual, but he turned back to the feet of Jesus. This morning, our worship shouldn't be about ritual. It should be about falling at the feet of Jesus. And when we give in the offering, that when we pray at the altar, and when we sing, when we listen, it should all be giving worship and glory at the feet of Jesus. You see, here he was a changed person and he knew it. And a changed person changes the worship. Worship doesn't happen in people that aren't looking for Jesus. So for us, that means that we need to be the changed people. If there was a place on this earth where people could see what changed people look like, where should it be? In the church. In the church. Because we are the called out ones, the ones that know the redemption of Jesus Christ. And that is the tie that binds us together, and the reason for our worship, the reason for our assembly, the reason for our ministry, the reason for our giving, the reason for our mission, the reason for everything is because Jesus Christ died on a cross. And because of that, and that change, and that redemption that we have to be the changed people. But the problem is, the church is looking too much like that out there. And guess what happens? The gratitude of the world is going to go down because they don't see the example in the church anymore. Because worship is too much about how I want it instead of about who deserves it. And here this one shows us that it needs to be a changed person. You see, the problem is not thankfulness. The problem is worship. We have replaced the Father, the Son, and the Spirit with I, me, and mine. And the gratitude goes out the window. All of a sudden, I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. And I need this. And I need it this way. And I want it this way. And if not, I'm going to go to this church down the road. Or I'm going to go over here. Or I'm going to do something else. Instead of, you know what? Jesus deserves my worship. He deserves me because He has changed me. And if we want to see the gratitude in this world change, we need to be the people that they see the change in. I'm afraid too often we are trusting in the government to be the change in this world. We're looking to a White House instead of the church house. And we need to see the change in us because of who Jesus Christ is. You know, we look at this story this morning and we can insert ourselves in this story in some place. Because we all know the leprosy of sin and what it does in our hearts and what it does in our lives and how it has made us an outcast. And we're on the outskirts and we're crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when He saves us and when He cleanses us, then where are we? Are we going to keep going through the ritual? Head to the priest? Are we going to go back to the feet of Jesus? This Thanksgiving, if we want a return of thanks, worship increases the gratitude. You want a return of thanks? Get a little more Jesus. Get a better picture of Jesus. Spend some more time with Jesus. See His Word that God gave His only begotten Son. Pour through it and see that Jesus is the one that says, go show yourselves to the priest. And when we come back in worship, we can understand that He says, rise, your faith has made you well, that you are saved, that you have eternal life because of Jesus. Worship is giving. And a return of thanks is going to be a return of worship. Who are we going to worship today? Are we going to be a changed people? Or are we going to continue through ritual? Shall we stand? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, just take this moment to peer into your heart, appear in your life, to put yourself in the place of these lepers. This morning, will you have a clean perspective? Will you have a clear praise? Will you be a changed person? Or are we going to continue to go through the motions and the rituals and wondering where God is? This moment, this time, this invitation is a time of response. Yes, it is a part of our worship. Because worship is giving. And this morning, will you give glory? Will you give praise? Will you give thanks? Going to pray in just a moment and then we're going to sing and the altar is going to be open. And I ask you just to respond as God is working in your life. If you need to know what Jesus Christ has done for you, if you need to know that cleansing like these lepers, I'd love to show you this morning. Just step out and meet me down front. You need to follow Him. in obedience. Come. Tell them that. Need a place to join with, to be a part of being that change. Love for you to meet me down front. But as we come to this time, it's a time of response and a time of worship now. Will we fall at the feet of Jesus? Or are we going to go through ritual this morning? Our dear Father, I pray, Lord, that your love would change us. God, I pray that we would return thanks through our life. Be with us, Lord, now in this time of response. Help us, Lord, to follow you. Give those power, Lord, that you're working through to respond. And I pray, Lord, that we'll give you the glory for it. For it's in your name I pray.